again, happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. And you know, if you've got a puppy, a dog, a cat, you're a mom. You're a mom, okay? So, this morning, we all know that there is a special bond between us as mothers and our child or our pet. We know that there is a special bond between us. So when a child falls down, what is the first thing that child does? It cries for mama, right? Or if mama's not there, dad'll do in a pinch, but he's a distant second most of the time, right? Well, I want to share this morning. There was a survey by Wakefield Research, and they found that instead of getting flowers for Mother's Day, 85% of the millennial mothers, new mothers, preferred acknowledgement. Acknowledgement from family and from friends that they were doing a good job. How many mothers here would agree to that? Now, in Proverbs 31, it says, "Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her, and there are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all." That's what it says in Proverbs 31. So again, the best thing that we can do or our children can do for their mothers or husbands, in fact, is to tell her encouraging words. Tell her she's doing a great job, you know? Husbands, when's the last time that you praised your wife, the mother, in front of your children? When was the last time you said something encouraging to her in front of your children? Better yet, when was the last time you said something encouraging or positive to your wife, a mother, in front of a complete stranger? So there's your homework, guys. Now, what's that? Yeah. You know, letting your mom know that you appreciate her with a gift is fine. With a card is fine. But when you put a card in there, what they're looking for is what's written at the bottom. What did my child say? What did my child? They said something special. That's what sticks with you. You read, you know, maybe through the card. But at the end, what did the child write? Those are the things that are enriching to a mother. So, with that being said, Buster was talking about earlier. So, think about the things that we've learned from our moms over the years. For instance, our mothers taught us what? Anticipation. When she said, "Just wait until your father gets home." That's anticipation, right? Okay. How about this one? She taught us logic when she said, "Because I said so, that's why." How about when she taught us about irony? "Keep crying, and I'll give you something to cry about." Or how about this one? When she taught us about prayer, when she said, "You'd better pray that that stain comes out of the carpet." Or when she taught us about wisdom, when she said, "When you get older, you will understand." Or justice, when she shared or taught us about justice, when she said, "One day you'll have kids, and I hope they're just like you." And Connie says, "Yes, amen to that one." How about stamina? "You will sit there until you eat those veggies." So, as much as we say, "Well, I never taught him this or I never taught him that." Oh, yeah, you did. If you said something like this, yeah, you did. You taught him stuff. So mothers, of course, we play a vital role in society. But we also, and we know we impact our children, right? But we also impact our grandchildren. And we also, which I'll get to do here shortly, I will get to start impacting my great-granddaughter. Now, the other day, I went to Connie's, and she says, "Oh, Mom, I'm glad you're here. They're supposed to come today. You get to hold the baby. You get to see the baby." So we visited, and it was like 3:30, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock came, and no baby shows up. 4:30 came, and there was no baby yet. And about 5 to 5, I go, "I got to get to the bank." Well, I missed the bank, But then she texts them, like, where are you? Oh, well, we were longer in the doctor's office, and then we had to go get labs, and then we had to go to the grocery store. So I never got to see the baby. But 10 minutes after I left, of course. But someday it's going to happen. But anyway, we will impact our children, grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. But guess what, moms? Guess what? And I'll bet, you know, Lois and I talk about her mom a lot, frequently. And she shares, her mom's in heaven, but she shares the impact that her mother made on her life, even to this day, right, Lois? Even though she's in heaven. And I, like the other day when we were out at Hornbaker's, and Renee wants a wind chime. That's my granddaughter, before she had the baby. And I said, I want to get you a wind chime for your birthday. She goes, Grandma, you're not going to get me this one. This one's way too expensive. I said, well, I'm getting you a wind chime. She goes, Grandma, I can get it. I go, no, I'm getting you a wind chime. I said, because in 20 years from now, when you're listening to that wind chime, I want you to think of me. That's being selfish in a way, but the point being is when she thinks of me, she's going to, I pray, thank my mom, or my grandma was a godly woman, and she loved the Lord. And you know what? I'm going through a valley right now, and I could use some of that faith that my grandma had. If that's all it's for, knowing that even though we're not here as grandmas or great-grandmas or great-aunts, whatever, knowing that we have left an impact with someone, our loved one, or an individual, a friend. It says in, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:5, he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This scripture shows the importance of what? Godly inheritance. And every one of you here have got a good, solid, godly foundation. I know that from knowing you over the years, that you have a very good, strong, solid, godly foundation. And that impact, you can bring that impact upon your generations before you or after you. And sometimes as moms, we might feel that we failed, that we blew it, that our children, have messed up in ways. But we have to realize that no matter what their ages are, that they are a work in progress. We all are a work in progress. Amen? And remember, I used to have this, Connie can remember this, on my refrigerator. It was a little sticky. I had that on there till it was falling apart. And it said, be patient with me. God's not through with me yet. And that's how we as mothers have to realize that even though, and I know Jerry was talking about this with Connie, that, you know, once you have a child, you're going to constantly focus on that child till the day you die. It's not, you know, it's not like a pet so much as, you know, like you can, you miss them and whatever. But with a child, there's that constant, no matter how old they are, they are still your child. And talking about pets, we have a woman that, I don't know how, I can't even tell you how many dogs and cats, well, probably dogs, more dogs. But she'd bring these dogs, and we have a pet cemetery where I work, and she brings every pet that passes away, she brings them in. And I mean a lot of them. Since then, she's passed away. But over the years, she's had many, she's taken orphan dogs. She's probably had 3 or 4 at a time. And she loved each and every one of them. So we got to realize that we can, as godly women, godly mothers, we can leave a legacy. We can leave an impact even when we're gone. Now, I want to share, I don't know if any of you know Karen Wheaton. She has a ministry. It's called The Ramp. Tori probably recognizes that name. She had a daughter named Leslie who, she brought her daughter up in the things of God. She was very, very loved the Lord, but then one day she just left. She didn't want no part of ministry. She wanted no part of her mother. She didn't want part of nobody. She just left. She didn't know, Karen didn't even know where she was at. Now, Karen was not only a minister, she had made records, she was a singer, she's been on TBN a lot of times over the years. And many a times when she was up there singing her heart out, singing to the Lord on TBN in front of thousands and thousands of people, she's standing up there and her heart's breaking because she doesn't know where Leslie's at. But yet, for years, all she did was she was perseverance. It took time, but she persevered, she prayed, and she stood in faith, and eventually her daughter did come back. And today, her daughter works with her in her ministry. And she's actually written a book about this valley that she went through as a mother, not knowing whether her daughter was dead or alive. Now let's go to Ruth and Billy Graham. There you go, that's another example. I mean, there are some great stories about Franklin and how he, you know, he was his own person, let me tell you. But Billy Graham never said anything negative about his son. One time his son, Billy Graham had this board meeting, and all his board members are there, and of course, Franklin, he's a teenager, he's had a motorcycle, you could probably hear the motorcycle riding up to the building, he's got leathers on, he's got a leather jacket, he's got the long hair, the beard, whatever, and he comes in to his dad's board meeting, plops himself up, puts his feet up on the table, and like, hi, daddy-o, because back then that's what they'd say, daddy-o, and you know what? Billy Graham didn't put him down, didn't say, what are you doing here? How could you? No. All his dad said was, I'd like you all to meet my son. This is my son, Franklin. That's all he said to him. And they also had another daughter who broke every rule in the book. And she came back. She came back. But the thing is, again, they persevered. They trusted God in it. That doesn't mean that you have times where you're like, Lord, don't you hear me? Don't you hear me? I'm grieving. It's like I'm grieving. I don't know where my child's at. You know all about that. You know how I feel. And yet, they persevered and they continued to stand in the faith. They didn't walk away from God and be angry. They stayed with it. And God brought them the perseverance that they had that paid off. So here's George Washington, our first president. He said, the greatest teacher I ever had was my mother. President Ronald Reagan said, from my mother I learned a valuable value of prayer, how to have dreams and believe I could make them come true. So, if we have been godly mothers, and we've done our parts to raise our children in the things of God, guess what it says in Proverbs 31? It says, you are a treasure. You are valuable above rubies. Wow. Now, again, I want to go back to this. Moms who have children that seem to be disinterested and even hostile towards your faith. Now, as a mother, it seems hopeless at times. And sometimes we might find ourselves in doubt. Does God ever hear my prayer? But don't stop. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop asking. Now, I want to read this to you. And the reason I want to read it is because I don't want you to miss any of what I'm sharing here this morning. This is a story about St. Augustine's mother, Monica. This was in the year 331 A.D. It says, as a young man, Augustine cast off his once childhood faith, but he could never cast off her prayers and her stubborn love. They followed him, talking about her prayers and her love. They followed him from their small town to a big city in Carthage, where things in his life went from bad to worse. There, Augustine's life would be marked by what he later admitted were his wicked ways and his carnal corruption. So this is what he's saying about himself. Then it goes on and says, at age 29, despite Monica's, his mother's, incessant pleading with him not to go, Augustine determined to set sail for Rome. Then it goes on to say her prayer was that God would somehow prevent her son from making that journey. Despite her specific prayer, the Augustine prayer, Augustine, that Augustine not leave, he did, and she wept and wailed in sorrow. But though God didn't answer that specific request, he had heard the main point of her prayer. He was at work in ways that she could not see and that she could not understand. Get this. In God's perfect plan and timing, it was different from her own, even though it was different from her own, the place she feared would be her son's undoing was the place that he would finally surrender to God's will. So sometimes when we think we don't want our child to go that direction, that is exactly the direction God wants them to go so that he can bring them back to him. And a good example of that is Glenn's son, Jeff. Jeff ended up in jail, and now he's what's the name of the town? It's down south. Anyway, he says, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm in jail. Because if I hadn't gone to jail, I wouldn't know God. I wouldn't know Christ as my Savior. I'm glad God got my attention. Because I would still, if I was not caught, he says, I would still be out there breaking every rule in the book. Danville, yes. So, realize that when we pray for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, or we pray for a loved one, when they're going the wrong direction, that might be exactly the direction God wants them to go in that season of their life so that he can bring them closer to him. So, when we are weary and we want to give up, we don't. Though it might be a long wait for us, just like Karen Wheaton, it was years before she saw any results. It was years before Billy and Ruth Graham saw results with their son and with their daughter. I remember Billy Graham's, it might have been Ruth's, one of the parents' funerals, the daughter stands up and says, I was a prodigal. And I knew a month or probably 2 weeks after when I got married, she went to Las Vegas, got married to a guy. She didn't even hardly know him. And like 2 weeks or a month later, she knew it was wrong. And what did she do? She called her dad. She says, I want to come home. And she said, do you know what? She says, when I came down that road, he was standing there at the end of the lane waiting for me. And he had his arms out. That's what we're to be as parents, as mothers, as fathers. Just know that he will always make a way. He will always make a way. You may not see it, but he always makes a way. With that being said, this morning before we close, I want to share three things with you. Three ways that you as a mom, okay, or someone, your mom, remind them of Jesus when it's something that you might say or something that you might do, or the way that you live reminds that individual, that child, that niece, that nephew, that grandchild. It reminds, when they see you, it reminds them of Jesus. So here are three. That you will always love them. Every time your mom sees you, your mom tells you, I love you, or I'm proud of you. We know that when it comes to love, the strongest love on this earth is between a mother and a child. Number two, you are always welcomed. Moms always are there for you. Not only welcomes you into her home, but she also welcomes you into her heart. Even if you were a prodigal child, you are always welcome. You're always going to see an open door, open arms, and an open heart. Lastly, I like this one. You are always fed. You are always fed. Not only food for your physical needs, but you are always fed your spiritual needs as well. So as moms, these are ways that we should be like Christ. And maybe as moms, as grandmas, as great-grandmas, as aunts, maybe we will hear our child say, "Mom, when you do that, or when you say that, you remind me of Jesus." There is no greater compliment that you can have, moms, than that. Amen.